Thanks, Joe and Carrie. Good morning. Welcome. It's great to see everybody. I see one college student. Welcome, Carter. Does that mean exams are over? Oh, man, you rock. That's awesome. Anyway, pray for the rest of our students whose exams are not over yet and will be home later this week. So great to have you. Great to have everybody worshiping with us this morning. If this is your first time here, I especially just want to welcome you this morning as our guest, or maybe you've been here a few times and checking us out. There's a connection card in the pocket in the seat in front of you. If you'd like to fill that out, we'd love to connect a name with a face, and you can drop that in one of the offering boxes at the back doors on your way out this morning. But just want to welcome you to our service. Thanks for worshiping with us this morning. Before we jump into the message, there's a couple things I just want us to just hit the pause button and just kind of celebrate and update you on and all of that. First is our Fair Hill Elementary partnership that we started a few months ago. It's Fair Hill Elementary School is right across Route 50, just this direction, not far from. In fact, if you make a left on the Route 50, the next road is still Chichester Lane, so that's where Fair Hill is. It's a county, a public school, elementary school. And so we just thought, you know, we would try to see if there was any way we could develop some kind of a partnership with them just to kind of encourage them or support them or just help them do what they're already doing well a little bit better. And so as we started conversations with some of their staff and administrators, one of the things we discovered that they do and that they need help with from time to time is with gift cards. They have families sometimes in their school that are low-income families that have needs from time to time. And they just want to be in a position to help them out when those times arise. So they just said, you know, could you guys do a collection of $25 gift cards for Target, Walmart, grocery stores, things like that? So we just, you know, we said, we'll do this. We set a goal. We thought if we get 20 cards, that'll be a win for us. It'll be a win for them. We collected 69 $25 gift cards. So thank you for those of you who participated in that. And you'll have an opportunity to do something like this in the future. We'll continue to update you on how that's going, but that's about over $1,700 in gift cards that we gave to Fair Hill that they're prepared to help families in need over the next year with those. Some of our staff went and delivered those, and they caught a really short video clip of the vice principal there just saying thanks. So here's that video clip.
Good morning. My name is Tim Stanley. I'm the interim principal at Fair Hill Elementary School. The school and the school community is extremely thankful and appreciative of this gift of the cards. Throughout the year, we work with our teachers and our staff, and especially our social worker, to identify and support families who have financial needs and need food, really. That's what a lot of these are going to be for. But also this time of year for clothing, for gifts, things like that. Recently, I've learned of a family, that really has next to nothing. And the school has already reached out, but this will help us continue to support them.
So that's awesome. You know, I thought, you know, if I was a student at that school and ever got in trouble and had to go see the vice principal, I'd be scared to death with that guy because he has that Gandalf look, you know, and "you shall not pass" is what I would hear him say probably. But anyway, we actually have families who know him because he was the vice principal, interim vice principal, I think, at another local school. So we've got families who know him, and he's a neat guy, and all the kids love him at that school. So we're just glad that our staff got to meet him and talk with him. So thank you again for being a part of that. And then the second thing I just want to let you know how it went and just celebrate is our dog nativity. How many of you brought a dog or showed up or helped or did something? Lots of you around here. It was a great success. We kind of planned for it to be small this first go because we've never done anything like this and we didn't want to get overwhelmed and not be prepared for that. So we intentionally didn't advertise a lot for this event. But we had around 22, I think, show up for this, even in spite of the nasty rain weather that was going on during the whole thing yesterday morning. About half of those were community people. About half were some of you guys from church. So thank you for showing up. But it was just a great opportunity to meet some people in our community that we wouldn't have met otherwise had we not done this. So I'm just thankful for our leaders who had the vision for this pulled it off and did such a great job of representing our church to it. So we're thankful for all of that. So let's just pause. Let's go to God in prayer this morning. God, we thank you for just what we see you doing in this church. And we thank you for yesterday's event and for the people that we got to meet that we wouldn't have gotten to meet probably any other way. And so we just thank you for blessing that. And we just pray that you just continue to give us wisdom and guidance about how we can think outside the box about connecting with our community and meeting people who live around us. And then I thank you for this partnership that's been developing with Fairhill Elementary. And I just thank you especially for the opportunity that we have to just come alongside of them, especially in this area of gift cards that's such a need for them. And so I just pray that you would bless each one of these cards that we donated, and you just bless the families who benefit from them. And I just pray as they utilize those cards that we wouldn't get the recognition, but they would, because they are the heroes that serve that school and that community day in and day out. So we just pray that you would continue to bless all of the teachers there, the administrators, all of the staff, all of the people who work so hard to serve the students and the families at Fairhill. And then, God, I just pray you would open our hearts and our minds today as we just hit the pause button for a few minutes and just focus on this season that we're in, and help us to be able to drop some of the distractions that we brought, maybe our to-do list, some of the things that are going on, so that we can truly focus on you at this time of year. In Christ's name I pray, amen. So grab your notes. We are in our Christmas series that we started last week, and I want to remind you as we jump into this of a couple of things that I tend to remind us all at this time of year. First is just remember that this season, you know, between Thanksgiving and New Year's, everything in our life kind of gets magnified during this time of year. The holidays just tend to do that for some reason. We tend to be a little more stressed between Thanksgiving and New Year, right? We tend to be a little more emotional during this time of year. It brings out our emotions. It's not the best time to make major life decisions, so if you can avoid that, you probably should. Sometimes we have to, but it's not the best time to do that. But the holidays, they just tend to magnify everything, don't they? And so if things are going well for us, I mean, at this time of the year, it just seems like it's a little bit better, doesn't it? But if things aren't going so well, or if there's something that we're struggling with, it just seems like it's a little bit more, a little bit bigger this time of the year. So just kind of keep that in mind as you kind of figure out how to navigate this season. And then the other thing I want to remind you of is something that we talked about last week, and it's that we can get so caught up in all of the activity that comes with Christmas that we can lose sight of the real reason of why we celebrate Christmas, because Christmas is complicated, isn't it? I mean, it's complicated, it's stressful, and the older you get, the more complicated it gets. The more kids you have, the more complicated it gets. But I think for men, it's the most complicated, okay? I really do, and some of you will agree with this. And there's lots of reasons why I think it's complicated for us guys, but one of the reasons is our wives lie to us at this time of the year. And some of you know this is true. And the longer you're married, the more consistent this lie gets. In fact, you may be dating somebody, you might be engaged, and your girlfriend or your fiance is probably lying to you right now, because you'll say things like, "Honey, you know, what do you want for Christmas?" And they'll say, "Oh, I don't need anything. You don't need to get me anything. No, no, really, what can I get you for Christmas? Oh, don't worry about me. I'm fine, right? I'm fine." But woe to the man, okay? Woe to the man who shows up on Christmas Day, who believes that lie, and you wake up, and there is nothing under the tree, right? And you're like, "But you said it will not be a very Merry Christmas for you," if that is you, okay? So that kind of complicates things, stresses things out. And then the thing that kind of goes with that, and this might just be me, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I feel the pressure at Christmas to surprise people with exactly what they want. Okay? You know what I'm talking about? Now, I know how to surprise people. That's not a problem. I can surprise people all day long, right? That's easy. I get that. And I know how to give people exactly what they want. I get that too, right? You go to the store, they point it out, and then you kind of put it aside, and then they go on and do some more shopping, and you go back and you take it and you put it on the counter and you pay for it, and you put it in a bag, you take it home, you wrap it up, and it puts it under a tree, right? Or even better, they just send you the link to the Amazon page of exactly what they want, and you order and it shows up on your front door in that box, and you have no idea what's in it till you open it, right? And then you give it to them on Christmas. So I get that. I know how to surprise people, And I know how to give people exactly what they want, but I don't understand how to give people, how to surprise people with exactly what they want. So that's stressful at this time of year. And then for many of you, especially if you're married, maybe the most stressful part is just figuring out the whole family thing, right? And, you know, we spent last year with their parents, and now we got to spend this year with their parents, or we spent 2 years in a row with their parents, so now I owe you, and that kind of stuff. And so there's just so much to this season that if we're not careful, we can let all of that stuff distract us and we can lose focus on what's most important about Christmas, and that's celebrating the most wonderful birth that ever took place in the world. And so what I suggested we do last week is that we just use our time on Sunday mornings, last Sunday, this Sunday, next Sunday, and then if you're here on Christmas Eve, that we just use this time to focus on the birth of Jesus, to kind of forget about everything else for a few minutes, to forget about our to-do list and the distractions and all of that, and let's just focus on what really matters and what it's really all about. We're also in this series, if you're here last week, we're going behind the scenes a little bit. We said last week that there's just so much drama and there's so much pageantry, so much theater connected to the birth of Jesus that we sometimes forget that the people in the story were real people and went through real life experiences. And so we're kind of going backstage behind the scenes a little bit and taking a closer look at some of the characters in the Christmas story. And specifically, we're looking at what did they go through? What did they feel? What was the emotion that they were dealing with when they encountered Jesus for the first time? And last week, just to recap, we looked at Joseph and Mary, and we discovered that Joseph was a good man. In fact, Matthew tells us that Joseph was a just man. And Joseph, though, found out that his fiancée was pregnant and that she was going to give birth to the Son of God, to the long-awaited Messiah, the promised Messiah. And we said that one of the feelings that Joseph was dealing with was Joseph was just afraid. And that's what happened to him when he encountered Jesus on that first Christmas. It's why God sent that angel in a dream to him that said, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid to embrace what I'm doing, because not only am I doing something in her life and in your life, but I'm doing something in the world, and I'm going to use Mary to do that. And then we looked at Mary, and we saw someone who was, at best, was just uncomfortable, right? I mean, she's in the middle of an impossible story. She's pregnant, and she can't explain it. She's engaged to be married, and then on top of that, her and Joseph, they have to travel some 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem because there's a Roman census taking place. They probably walked most of that 70 miles, and when they get there, the town is packed with people who are also there for the census. There were other things going on at that time of year as well. And so when they get there, it's just full. There's no room for them. There's no room for them at the inn, we're told. And they end up in a barn or a stable or a cave or something like that. And she ultimately gives birth there. And so to say that Mary was uncomfortable probably is an understatement, isn't it? And so today, we're going to look at two more characters. And then we're going to wrap up next week with a third character. But today, I want us to kind of go backstage. And I want us to start this morning with the innkeeper. And the innkeeper, to me, when I was growing up as a kid, this guy was always intriguing to me, a very interesting character, because when you hear the story retold of the birth of Jesus, the innkeeper's always the bad guy, isn't he? I mean, he's always portrayed kind of as a villain. I mean, who wouldn't open up a room for a pregnant woman who's just walked 70 miles and shows up in town? I mean, if ever there's a reason to bump somebody, that's it, isn't there? And so the innkeeper is kind of portrayed as like this, you know, the first Christmas Scrooge or something like that. But here's the deal. I never hear anybody getting on Joseph for not planning ahead, right? I mean, have you ever thought about that? I mean, nobody gives him grief for that. I mean, Joseph, you know, why didn't you send a carrier pitch in with some reservations, or, you know, look up hotels.com or whatever they had back then, all that kind of stuff. It's always the innkeeper who gets a bad rap on this. But here's the deal. The innkeeper is barely even mentioned in the text. I mean, he's barely even mentioned in the story. I mean, there's only one little phrase that Luke gives us because there was no room for them in the village inn. I mean, that's it. We're not even told the person's name, right? We don't even know if there really was an innkeeper. Behind the scenes, I don't see the innkeeper as being a bad guy. I just see him as being occupied, right? I mean, it was busy. I mean, it was what it was. Everyone was in town for this huge event. There was no room. You know, it was full, sold out. Tom Burdette didn't leave the light on, right? I mean, turned the thing off. Scholars actually speculate that it might have been the innkeeper that actually led Joseph and Mary to where they ended up, this barn or stable or cave or whatever this place was. They don't really know. But what is clear is the innkeeper definitely would have been occupied at this time of year. And it doesn't make him mad. Or bad. It just makes him like you and me. It makes him busy. He's caught up in a lot. He's got a lot going on. He was occupied. And by the way, he didn't know who Mary was, and he certainly didn't know who she was about to give birth to. So Mary is uncomfortable. Joseph is afraid, and rightfully so. And the innkeeper, he's just busy. I mean, he's just occupied. And then what about the first visitors? I mean, let's go behind the scenes with them. And the reason why I call them the first visitors is when you go behind the scenes in the book of Matthew, they were the wise men. But then when you look at the story in Luke, they were the shepherds. Luke and Matthew, they were writing to two different audiences, and they were writing from two very different perspectives. And so they give us two details to the very same story. But interesting enough, the first visitors in both narratives, as we're going to see in just a minute, they have the same response. When they focus on Jesus, when they meet Jesus, when they encounter Jesus. Matthew tells us this about the wise men. He says, the wise men entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were. So some time has passed. In fact, most scholars believe that Jesus was probably a year and a half to 2 years old at this time. The wise men entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshiped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What was their response? Their response in the presence of Jesus, I mean, they're even in the presence of baby Jesus, toddler Jesus, and their response was to worship him. They fell to their feet, dropped to their knees, and worshiped. Now, Luke tells us a little bit about the shepherds. The angel has come and has announced the news to the shepherds who are out in the fields with their flocks, and here's what Luke tells us. The shepherds, on hearing all this, they ran to the village and they found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And then the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story, they were astonished. The shepherds went back to their fields and flocks, glorifying and praising God. You know, I love the response of the shepherds. I mean, when they meet Jesus, their response to meeting Jesus takes worship to a whole new level, doesn't it? I mean, they didn't just worship him in that moment. They took their worship to the streets. They told everybody about what they had experienced, that they were in the presence of the Messiah, that they were with Jesus. And Luke tells us that the people who heard the shepherd's story and what they had experienced, they were astonished. Some translations tell us they were amazed. But here's what the first visitors experienced when they focused on Jesus. They were awestruck, weren't they? I mean, they were in awe when they discovered Jesus, when they experienced his presence. So, four feelings as we've kind of gone behind the scenes so far in this story: afraid, uncomfortable, occupied, and awestruck. And we're going to pick the story up there next week, but I want to just invite you this week again to what I invited you to last week, and that is to go behind the scenes of your own life, to kind of go backstage to your life, to where nobody else knows, nobody else can see, no one else can understand. It's your soul that I'm inviting you to go to. And as you take a deeper look, I want to ask you to just think a little bit. What is it that you feel when you focus on Jesus? What do you experience when you focus on Jesus this Christmas season? Maybe you can identify with Joseph, because when you think about Jesus, that brings a little bit of fear into your life. Maybe you're afraid, like we talked about last week, of what it would look like if you totally aligned yourself with the teachings of Jesus. Maybe you're afraid to really explore the Christmas story or to really explore the story of Jesus, and maybe you're afraid to take a step of faith and just believe. And all of that makes you a little fearful. Or maybe you understand some of what Mary felt because Jesus makes you feel uncomfortable in some way. And it's not that you're necessarily afraid of following Jesus. It's just that you don't want some of the uncomfortable stuff that you think might come with following Jesus. I mean, you like your lifestyle, right? You've crafted it to be the way you want it to be. You don't want Jesus to come along and make you uncomfortable by what he asks you to do or asking you to think differently about things or respond and treat other people in a new way. Or maybe when it comes to Jesus and you're really, really honest and you go backstage to your life, maybe you're just occupied. You're just too busy to really follow Jesus. I mean, your life is full. There's no room at the end. I mean, worship isn't really a priority. Prayer happens on the run if it happens at all. Generosity, well, that's spontaneous, right? And small group, I mean, who has time for that? You're just occupied with other things. Your mind is occupied with what you want to do. Your heart is occupied with where you want to be. I mean, you've got big plans, but it's tough to make room for Jesus in the middle of all of that. And again, that doesn't make you bad, and it doesn't make those things bad. It just makes you human, right? We all struggle with that in our lives. Or maybe when it comes to Jesus, you're actually awestruck. And you would say that really defines who you are. That for you, the name of Jesus, I mean, it does more than just make you smile or make you want to put a bumper sticker on your car. The name Jesus gives you a passion for living, and it gives you compassion for other people around you. Knowing Jesus, you would say, defines who you are, but it does more than that. It makes you want to be a better person. And you're not perfect at it, but Jesus definitely guides your thinking and guides your life, and you want other people to experience that too. So what I want to invite you to do is just to define, where are you? Where are you as you enter into this Christmas season? And like I said last week, no matter what answer you come up with, you're not alone. You may think you're alone, but you're not alone. If you're here today and you want to be awestruck, but you're not, and you wish you were, you're not alone in that. If you're here today and you would say, yeah, I really am afraid. I'm afraid of taking that next step. I'm afraid of aligning my life fully with God's way. You're not alone in that. And the reality is, Jesus makes all of us uncomfortable at one time or another. We all struggle with that and can relate to that. Or if you're just too occupied for Jesus, we get that because we've all been occupied with things, and things have gotten in the way of that. We're going to take this up right here next week as we just continue to go backstage with the Christmas story. But here's what I want to invite you to this week. I want to give you three things to think about and to do. And the first is this. Think about the what. The what. What do you feel when you focus on Jesus? What do you feel when you think about Jesus this Christmas season? And then take some time and dig a little bit deeper and get to the why. Why do you think you feel that way? What is it that's causing those feelings, those emotions, and those thoughts? And then before you come back next week, I just want to invite you to reread the Christmas story. Read it in Matthew, read it in Luke. It's pretty short. Read it in both. If you've got kids, read it to your kids one night before you put them to bed. You'll see things you never saw when you begin to focus and you begin to go backstage a little bit with the Christmas story. So three things this week, and then I hope you'll join us next week as we continue this, as we look at one more character, and then I definitely hope you'll join us for Christmas Eve as we kind of wrap it all up and come together for Christmas. So let me pray for you this morning. God, we thank you. Thank you for the story, and thank you for what you did when you sent your son. And God, I thank you for each one of the characters in this Christmas story, and like we've said, I mean, it's gotten so sanitized through the years that a lot of times we forget that they were just real people like us, and they experienced emotions, and they experienced feelings and thoughts and all of that like we do as we experience you. And so I thank you for Matthew, and I thank you for Luke, and I thank you for the fact that they wrote it down and they captured it, and all the people who protected it for thousands of years so that we could read it today. And so, God, I pray that this year we would just all take some time and we would go backstage, not just with the Christmas story, but with our own story. And we would take a look inside and we would really examine ourselves and just try to figure out what is it that we experience when we experience you? And why do we experience that? And is there anything that we need to do about that to make it different? And so give us all that wisdom and guidance. And I pray for that you just be with each one of us this week as we do that. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Let's stand and sing our song response.